when the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to Phil Cole Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter, his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors, and Bing's guests, Abe Burrows, who sings on records and nightclubs and on the radio, and Peggy Lee, who sings on records in nightclubs and on the radio. Now, here's a man who sings on records, in movies, on the radio, at golf matches, in bathtubs at plumbing store openings, during the seventh inning stretch at Forbes Field, Pittsburgh, at silo dedications, and on vacant lots, Bing Crosby.
Vacant lots. What do you mean, vacant lots?
You sure must have been busy lately.
I was a smash last night. I attended the opening of a new frozen custard stand out on Sepulveda Boulevard. Sepulveda Boulevard.
Were you singing?
No, I was scooping.
I suppose, though, you were the guest of honor, huh, Bing?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. They named a special Sunday after me, you know.
Oh, isn't that touching?
Isn't that nice?
I bet it's a beaut.
Oh, it's just frozen madness, really. 5 scoops of custard with a hot butterscotch syrup sprinkled with chopped almonds, grated coconut, and a garland of whipped cream. And crowning the whole beautiful edifice is a big, juicy red Bing cherry.
Oh, that sounds yummy. What do they call that, the Crosby Sunday?
No, the grown-up.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes, sir.
I am here to present you with the Downy Flake Donut Award in honor of National Donut Week.
Ah, yes, the week with the hole in the middle, huh?
Please, Mr. Crosby, this is serious.
I'm sorry, just a light jest.
Inasmuch as this is National Donut Week, the National Dunking Association has voted you the radio star whose face is most conducive to dunking.
Well, this is quite an honor. Thank you.
And dunk you, too.
Oh, I tell you, Ken, it's real nice to know people are thinking about you, isn't it? Yeah. Now, if the Rhythmaires are ready, and I know they are, we shall all dunk into a song, eh? We have selected How It Lies. Mr. Trotter, if you please. If you think candy's sweet, there's a girl you ought to meet. Sugar drips from her lips when she sighs. But the love light that lies within my baby's eyes, how it lies, how it lies, how it lies. She has style, she has charms, and a pair of loving arms that I'm dying to try on for size. But the love light that lies within my baby's eyes, how it lies,
lies.
Yes, how it lies,
lies.
Oh, lies. Her name tops the list of every florist. Her bows are standing 10 deep in line. Bow deep, bow deep, oh, boop, bow. With all of the trees in the forest. Why should I be the only lonesome pie?
Oh, there's heartbreak in store when the one that you adore is the devil in angel's disguise.
For the love light lies is the love light that dies
when it lies, when it lies, while it lies.
Now, very, very, very bouncy, Bing and boys and girls. I, for one, really enjoyed that.
I can, and dunk you, too.
Oh, really? Now, Bing, you planning a fishing trip pretty soon?
Oh, I'm always planning to dunk the Cutty Hunk. Matter of fact, I've got a lake staked out that's so far away, so full of fish, there's no water in it.
Oh, no. How do the fish live?
They have a Philco agency.
Oh, please. Joshing me.
Oh, very good. No joshing. No. Well, I really am going to a lake that's so remote it isn't even on the map. Please, Union. Well, this is very tender stuff we're coming to here. I'm going to a lake that is so remote it isn't even on the map. Fishing so good there, Rand won't even tell McNally about it.
Well, if you're heading
for... I guess they could have laughed. Nothing happening.
Well, if you're heading for faraway places, Bing, you better take along one of these Philco Powerhouse portables so you can sort of keep in touch.
Oh, I always do, Ken. I have a Philco portable right in my boat. And believe me, it really pulls in the stations.
Darn too. Oh, you're so right, Bing. The Philco 607 portable pulls in everything but the fish. Man, it's a regular ball of fire loaded with power to get you powerhouse reception in all those faraway places. Just to give you an idea, this great Philco portable plays even on boats, trains, or planes without requiring any special aerial. Tunes your station sharper and clearer, too. So, folks, wherever you're heading on your vacation, the lakes, the mountains, or the beach, head for your Philco dealer first and pick yourself up the greatest performing portable radio you ever bent an ear to. Ask for the Philco 607, the performance champion of the industry, from the world's largest radio and television manufacturer, Philco, the leader.
Chesterfield's charming chanteuse in Valley High from Tales of the South Pacific.
Valley High may call you any night, any day. In your heart you'll hear it call you. Come away, come away. Valley
Berth on the Southern Cross in a seersucker suit, I'd give the whole thing up and go down. You were superb, really. Say, Peg, I heard some rumblings around the sharper circles that the cats are considering me a little behind the beat. Is that
what are you talking about, Bing?
Well, Peg, in a word, and a mighty strange word it is, bebop.
Well, I'll tell you, Milton DeLug and Matty Melnick have written a musical lesson that explains the whole thing,
well,
I think.
Well, I'd like to
called bebop
articulate
spoken here.
Right here. Yes, let's see. Tell you what, Peg, we'll try a little of this. You be and I'll bop, huh?
Crazy man.
And I'll ool you cool, ool to ool.
papi dow. Ooh, papi dow. Ooh, papi, ooh, papi, ooh, papi dow.
Ooh, papi dow. Ooh, papi dow. Ooh, papi, ooh, papi.
Ooh, ya, coo. Bebop spoken here. Oop de bam, oop de bam. Oop de bam, oop de bam. Bebop spoken here. Flea ba da ba da da dilly a bow.
Easy on the ear. Oop de bam, oop de bam. Oop de bam, oop de bam. Bebop spoken here. Flea ba do ba do ba dilly a ow.
While conversing with a sharpie, says Emily Post, keep your best beret perched on top.
When he's giving you the sign of the flattered fifth, then dig him, sir, with a sugar mop.
Have I made this clear? Oop de bam, oop de bam. Oop de bam, oop de bam. Beep bop spoken here.
Pop! That's mop.
Eep lia ho. Oop. Ba ba la ba eep lia oop.
Are you all right there?
Eep. Ba da da eep lia da ee ah. Eep lia ee ah. Ooba dooba dee, ooba dooba dee, ooba dooba dee, ooba dooba dee ah ah.
Conversing with the sharpest as Emily Post. Keep your best beret perched on top.
When he's giving you the sign of the flattered fifth, then dig him the most with a sugar mop.
Have we made this clear?
Oop de bam, oop de bam, oop de bam, oop de bam, bebop spoken here.
Eep,
that's beep.
Twice before, patrons of these Philco happy hours have been pleasurated by the song satires and the nonsense of a large, lumpy man named Burroughs. Having repaired our microphones and given everyone sufficient time to recuperate from the onslaught of his dynamic vocal cords, we feel brave enough to introduce him once again. Abe, of all people, Burroughs.
Hello. Hello, I'm Burroughs, like he said. Please, Mr. Crosby, I have no sense of humor about my voice. I think I'm tops in my field.
In a field, yes, but on a stage. Look, Abe, saying you're tops in your field, I'll admit you're not without a certain charm, but, well, as a singer, you're...
Can you name a worse singer?
No.
Then I'm tops in my field.
Well, I never looked at it exactly from that angle. But now that you've softened up the audience, why don't we get on with the musical extravaganza of yours?
Yeah, or the college musical,
yep,
you
let's
mean.
Really go into
okay.
The big stuff. The
ladies and gentlemen, tonight we'll bring you a short version of a college-type musical. Now, in this story, I played a coach.
Yep.
Bing plays the football hero. Milton DeLug is the drum major. Peggy Lee plays the girl. And the opposing team is played by John Scott Trotter.
Okay, Trotter plays the whole team?
Now, lady... Now, ladies and gentlemen, the locale of this college musical is a typical little college called Upper Peabody Tech. Upper Peabody Technological College.
Named after that great American, Peabody J. Upper, the inventor of the upper plate, the upper berth, and the upper hand.
Well, you heard of him, huh?
Oh, I use all his stuff.
Yeah.
Heard of him.
Anyways, as the curtain goes up, we see the campus is in a big state of excitement.
Furor.
You see, in only 3 days, Upper Peabody Tech is going to play the big game against their ancient rivals, Iowa State Chiropodists. Or as they are affectionately called, the Cornhuskers.
Well, we're off to a flying thud. Let's go.
Anyway, the students all join in the Upper Peabody song, a lovely Alma-type martyr anthem, like this. Where the Tishomanga meets the Minnehachie, and the Lone Pines reflected in the water, there's a spot where nature smiles, and it's just 600 miles from our noble alma mater.
Upper Peabody Technological College, you gave to us our brains and all of our knowledge. May you always go on taking girls and boys in.
May your campus ever be green
and your ivy never be poisoned.
Upper Peabody, Alma, Alma Mater, you've been to us a mother and a father. You're a grand, 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 grand school by heck, Upper Peabody Tech.
So let's lift our glasses to our school, let us drink. Let us drink to her colors, the chartreuse and shocking pink.
Upper Peabody Technological College, we'll say hail to thou and thee.
So it's UPPERTECHMOLOGICALCOLLEJJ.
All right,
that's the school for me. Now, as the echoes of the song die away, the coach of the team, the beloved Pop Burrows, that's me, gets up to speak to the assembled students. He says, Hi, kids. You all know how I feel about this old school. I'm proud to be part of it. You know, sometimes when I go out among fellas from other schools and they brag about their schools and they say where they come from, and then I say, I'm from Upper Peabody Tech, I never fail to get a warm feeling when they look at me and say, Where? Now, fellas, I got great news for you all about our, you should pardon the expression, football team. Our loyal alumni have chipped in and hired a great new player. He's a boy I used to coach in high school some 20 years ago. And here he is now to say a few words to you. Let's have three cheers and a tiger for Crusher Crosby. Rah, rah, rah.
Tiger.
Well, thanks, fellas. I want to say I'm mighty proud to be playing football for dear old Cornell.
Psst, this is Upper Peabody.
Oh, yeah, I've been traded again. Well,
fellas, I'm glad to be here at dear old Upper whatever it is, and I want to say that in a lifetime of tears and laughter, I'm...
Well... Well, the crowd goes simply wild about Crusher Crosby. And then after the rally, we find him and the coach talking on the campus.
Sure good to be with you again, Pop.
Great.
But coach, there's something on my mind.
On your mind? Please, Crusher, don't let anything destroy your simple stupidity.
Well, there's something that's been gnawing at me like a hog chomping on squash rinds. I got a hankering for romance.
Romance?
Yeah.
But Crusher, a man can't play football and go out with girls.
Why not? Gals don't mind being tackled.
Well, I know how you feel. I know how they feel, too. Soft. Crusher. Well, look at here. Here comes a girl you're gonna like. It's Peggy Lee.
Hello.
Whoa. This is what I've been thinking about, Coach.
Say, you're pretty as a red-winged blackbird a-crouching on a yellow pumpkin.
Well, so he ain't a poet.
Crusher, you know who Peggy is? She's a song cue.
Well, song cue?
Yeah, she's... Well, she's the sweetheart of Delta Delta Tau. She's the... Sweetheart of Delta Delta Tau.
I'm the darling of Delta Delta Tau.
She's the kind of a girl that all frat men admire.
When I kiss those frat men, the frat's in the fire.
She's the angel of Delta Delta Tau.
The queen of fraternity row.
She's lovely as can be.
I'm sweet Peggy Lee.
She's the sweetheart of DDT.
That's me.
Well, I know you two kids are going to get along real fine.
Say, Crusher, Do you know where we are?
Where?
Well, this is called Lover's Lane.
Yeah, and over there is Flightation Walk. And right next to it is Necker's Nook. And behind that is Smooch's Rock. And right beside that is Woo Pitching Wallow.
It sure is a busy place.
Well, where'll we go, Crusher?
Well, I'm a little nervous. You got anything called casual acquaintances, Ben?
Well, the story moves on like that, slow. Crusher is happy. The team looks great, and then disaster strikes. The college passes a rule that all students have to pass their courses. Crusher Crosby is going to have to take the exams before he can play. He's very upset. He says to the coach...
Oh, gee, Pop, it ain't fair. If a college hires a fella to play football, it ain't ethical to distract his mind with studies. I'm leaving.
Crusher, you can't let me down. You gotta study and pass the exams. You see, Crusher, this is my last year at Upper Peabody Tech. I ain't young anymore. I've been coaching here for 25 years, and I... Well, it'd be sort of nice if I could leave here proud in the knowledge that a team I coached finally won a game. Crusher, I'm an old man. My hair is gray.
What do you care? It ain't on your head no more.
Crusher, let me appeal to you this way. You see, Crusher, I'm new at this school. Just starting out. I gotta make good. If we don't win Saturday, I... Well, just put two and two together.
If I could do that, I could pass the exam.
Crusher. Crusher. Think of the time I coached you at the old high school. Remember our old high school song?
Sure do.
Let's sing it once more, huh?
Far above the city sidewalks, reaching to the sky, stands our noble alma mater, John C. Schultz and Hammer High. Hail to the John C. Schultz and Hammer High School, with your heart so big, would we lay our lives down for you? We should hope to kiss a pig.
Well, sir, after Crusher sings the high school song, his resistance melts, and he agrees to take the exam if the coach helps him study and pays him $500. Sweet guy. He studies, passes the exam, and the next day on the field, he makes 14 touchdowns, 12 of them while carrying the ball. And the whole school sings a big victory-type song.
Upper Peabody's victory fires are burning. We've knocked our foes upon the seats of learning. You're a grand, 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 grand school, by heck. Upper Peabody Tech.
There you go.
And Amen Gang, very educational. And folks, the place to get educated on what's new in home appliances is at your Philco dealer now. For a postgraduate course, take a look at the grand, 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 grand new Philco refrigerators that give you real full-length refrigeration all the way to the floor. Up to 42.5% more capacity with no increase in size. Or if you've got big ideas but are short on cash or kitchen space, ask your Philco dealer to show you Philco's sensational new model 793. It's the only refrigerator in the lowest price class that gives you the biggest luxury in refrigeration, a full-width frozen foods compartment. And here's the payoff. You get this luxury feature at $70 to $100 less. That's right, I said less than last year's price. And this new Philco is not only a dollar saver, but a space saver with 7 cubic feet of storage space. And yet it takes up no more floor space than a 4-foot model. So if you want to economize, get Philco-wise. See the great new 1949 refrigerators from Philco, famous for quality the world over.
Here's another song from Tales of the South Pacific. This is the ballad.
Oh,
some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger. You may see a stranger across a crowded room, and somehow you know. You know even then that somewhere you'll see her again and again. Some enchanted evening, someone may be laughing. You may hear her laughing across a crowded room, and night after night, and strange as it seems, the sound of her laughter will sing in your dreams. Who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Fools give you reasons, wise men never try. Some enchanted evening, when you find your true love, when you feel her call you across a crowded room, then fly to her side and make her your all. For all through your life you may dream all alone. Once you have found her, never let her go. Once you have found her, never let her go.
And so we scatter now. Away we go to our respective roosts. Having consumed our allotted period of time, my thanks to Peggy Lee for helping us enliven the evening, and to Abe Burrows, more thanks for the same.
Who's your guest next week, Ben?
Oh, next week, Peg, we got a new girl singer named Carol Richards, and also our old and talented friend Alec Templeton will be spending some diverting moments
Alec,
with us.
Oh, Alec's wonderful, Bing. You should have a great show.
Oh, we hope so, Abe. Good night.
So long, Crusher.
Night, Bing.
Good night, Pops. Good night, Peggy. Thank you all. Thank you very much.
Produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Marl and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors and Bing's guests, Alec Templeton and Carol Richards. And remember, keep your eye on your Philco dealer now for the greatest values in radio phonographs from Philco, the leader. Carpenter welcoming you to the Music Hall, starring Al Jolson with Oscar Levant and Lou Brings Orchestra and Al's guest.
So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for its song. Whenever April a shower comes along.
Now, here's a song I've sung every year for the past 20 years. And I can't let this season go by without doing it again. Take it, Lou. I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing, it is song time. The banjo's strumming soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X-I, even know my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north won't see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. The folks up north won't see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
You know, I hear that song, Al. I think of a wonderful place where the birds sing, the sun shines, the flowers bloom all the time.
Well, Ken, that's California.
That's right.
You want my opinion, and you probably don't. I hate the outdoors.
Oscar, what have you got against the outdoors?
There's no roof over it.
Oscar, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Let him laugh.
Well, that's the trouble, and that's exactly what's wrong with you, Oscar. You don't get out in the open air enough. Now look at me.
I'm tired of that.
What? I just hope this boy and I won't be in the same line at the unemployment office this summer. Now, really, son, you ought to get out in the air more. You really should.
Don't give me that advice, Al. I play concerts in the open air. Sometimes I almost freeze to death. I was playing a concert one night in Albuquerque.
Yeah?
It was so cold, I had to throw a Navajo blanket over me.
Oscar, could you play piano with a Navajo blanket on you?
Not good, Al. There was a Navajo still in it.
Oscar. Oscar, look, I'm looking forward to the time when you play your next concert here. You know, last year I heard you at Hollywood Bowl. You played good. You really did. You played good. But awfully long, don't you think?
Well, I played the Greek concerto and the Tchaikovsky concerto. Each one took 35 minutes.
Well, that's my point, Oscar. There were such long numbers. Why'd you play two of them?
Because I'm a pig.
Who am I to disagree with you on that? But, Oscar, you kept playing even when those airplanes were flying over the bowl. Didn't that bother you?
Nah, I arranged that with American Airlines.
Yeah?
I have them fly over during the difficult passages. In fact, I'm the only one to play Grieg's concerto for piano and DC-6.
Well, there are no planes flying over the music hall. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Levant will now play Beethoven's Fifth. The reason he's playing Beethoven's Fifth is because it doesn't come in pints.
So happens I'm playing Rachmaninoff's Second Concerto.
Thank you.
the stars out tonight. I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, 'cause I only have eyes for you, dear. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky, for I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden or on a crowded avenue. You are here, so am I. Maybe millions of people pass by, but they all disappear from view. And I only have eyes for you. Ladies and gentlemen, standing alongside me is Hollywood's newest Cinderella girl. 2 years ago, she was just another singer with a band. Today, she's one of our brightest stars in pictures and the singing star of Bob Hope's radio show, Miss Doris Day.
Oh, thank you, Al. Say, Al, I'm not really a Cinderella at all.
Doris, now that you're in pictures on the radio, are you making any money?
Well, I really don't know, Al. You see, Bob Hope handles all my money.
Is this Doris Day or Dennis Day? Well, you know, I just figured out why Bob Hope's nose is so sharp.
Why?
They've been probably using it to split swan soap into. By the way, Doris, I heard you sing at the Academy Awards ceremonies a few weeks ago, and honestly, a little late, but you were great.
Oh, thank you, Al. I really enjoyed it. And it was so exciting to watch the actors win those Oscars. How I'd love to get an Oscar.
Get an Oscar right here, I'd love to give you.
If you boys will stop quarreling, I'd like to tell you about a new song that I have.
New song?
Mm-hmm.
Doris, don't you know this is the place where old songs come to die?
That's not true, Doris. If you have a new song, sing it. And tell me, what's the name of it?
My Dream is Yours. It's from my new picture. And the picture's also called My Dream is Yours. My dream is yours. My dream is yours alone. It's all I own. My dream is yours. I'm through with spending time pretending I'm a rover. And when I dream it over, I'm in clover. And everything is fine. My dream is yours. It isn't much to give, but while I live, my dream is yours. So, darling, may I say I love you till the theme of every dream begins to shine. My dream is yours because it's yours and
Doris, that was beautiful. And like the song says, I wish my dream was yours.
She wouldn't want your dream, Al.
Why not, Oscar?
What kick would she get out of dreaming about Ava Gardner?
You know, Oscar, for a girl like me to appear in a program with Al Jolson, it's just, I don't have words to describe how really great it is.
Jolson will give you a few.
Now, don't you know what I mean, Oscar? You're with Al Jolson every week. Doesn't it do something to you?
Yes, but that's between me and my psychiatrist.
Well, all I know is that I wish I'd been born sooner so I could have been in a Broadway musical with a man like Al Jolson.
No sooner said than done. Oscar can play Broadway producer who gets the girl.
Who, what?
I said Oscar can play the Broadway producer who never gets the girl. Pardon my mistake, will you? Again, I'll give it to you. Oscar can play the Broadway producer who never gets the girl. See how funny your answer is.
If I get the girl, there's no script. Well, anyway, that's the part I always play. You know, I've lost so many girls on the screen, my wife is beginning to wonder what she saw in me.
That's something I always wonder, too. Now, look, Doris, you'll be the girl, huh?
Gee, do you think I can do it?
Better than me and Oscar. Now, I'll be a young singer in love with Doris. It's opening night. The curtain's going up on the first act. Doris and I are on stage. Music, maestro. Doris, darling.
Oh, yes, Asa, dearest.
Darling, there's something you must know.
What is it?
I don't know, but you must know something.
Oh, darling. Darling, sometimes I wonder if you care for me.
Of course I do, sweetheart. Why, when I look at you, a small voice inside of me says...
What does it say?
I don't know. It's so small I can't hear it.
Asa, we mustn't let our love slip away like this. Put your arms around me and hold me tight. Tighter. Tighter.
Doris, you're flattening the grooves in my deck of records.
Oh, it's no use. You don't love me at all. I'm going home to my mother. Do you hear me? I'm going home to my mother.
Don't take on so. You haven't far to go. She lives with us. But, Doris, look. I can express myself better in music. Now, here's a little song I wrote especially for you. Stand right alongside of me, honey, while I sing it.
You'll always be beautiful as you are tonight. You'll always be beautiful. You make the night seem bright. Where we go, you'll always be the loveliest one in sight. What matters when you're old and the gold turns to white? You'll be as beautiful as you are tonight. And when the years have passed, love like ours will ever last. You'll always be beautiful as you.
Jolson, I was sitting backstage here watching the first act of our musical. You did a good job in that love scene with Doris.
Why not? I love her.
But I love her, too.
But will you give her money and jewels?
Yes.
Will you give her furs and limousines?
Yes.
Spendthrift.
It so happens she told me she despises you.
Oh, no, don't say that. Don't say that.
You're too late. I said it.
Well, There's only one decent thing for me to do.
Gee, you're going to kill yourself, huh?
No. No. What's that hurry in there for?
I overplayed my anxiety.
No, I'm not going to kill myself. I'm going to go where there are no women. I'm going to join the Foreign Legion. Mon capitaine Carpentier. We have been in the middle of the desert, surrounded by the enemy for 2 weeks.
Legionnaire, there is something I would like to ask you.
What is it, mon capitaine?
For 10 years now, I've seen you march 20 miles a day through the hot sand with big blisters on your feet. Why don't you ever sit down to rest?
Because my feet is not the only place I got blisters. I understand the enemy captured one of our legionnaires. And every day they tighten his belt buckle another notch. And every day they tighten his belt buckle another notch and make him swallow sand.
Why are they doing that?
I think they're trying to make an hourglass out of him.
Well, Michel, son, after all these years, how is it you do not speak the French well?
Mon capitaine, I speak French when I'm in Paris. I say crête Suzette and amour. I can also say regard, voilà, écha, noir, louche avec. Un queue blanche.
But do you know what that means?
Oui. It means, look, there goes a cross-eyed black cat with a white tail.
Well, when can you use that?
When I meet a cross-eyed black cat with a white tail.
Johnson, why, tell me, why did you join the American, the Foreign Legion?
You're getting mixed up in your locale. I joined the Legion to forget.
But why do you have a string tied around your finger?
Well, I do not want to forget everything. Well, I joined to forget Doris. A piano player named Oscar Levant stole her away from me.
So you joined the Legion to forget her?
No, to forget Levant. The girl I will never forget. Many nights when the sky is clear and the stars are shining, I sit here and think of her.
Her eyes are stars, her lips are like wine. There's no other girl in the world like that wonderful girl of mine. I see her smile, and everything's fine. There's no other smile like the smile of that wonderful girl of mine. For where she walks, there are roses growing where roses never grew. We touch and I see a rainbow glowing across a heaven of blue. The bells is gonna ring, the sun's gonna shine. When I tie my heart to the heart of that wonderful girl of mine.
Mon capitaine.
Sacré bleu.
He is not here. Here I am all alone in the middle of the hot desert with the enemy ready to strike me down. If I ever needed Larry Parks, this is the time.
Asa, darling, I found you at last. Kiss me. Oh, Asa. The way you kiss.
It is the hot sand in my mustache. Doris, sweetheart, how do you get across the desert without a camel?
Without a what? Oh, it was easy. Put me down, Oscar. Lisa, darling, I'm so glad I found you at last. I was going out of my mind. Oscar and I put on show after show on Broadway, but somehow it wasn't the same without you.
That's right. We had hits.
Oh, look. Look, there are thousands of horrible men on horseback riding towards us. Asa, they'll kill us. What can we do?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Everybody knows what's going to happen. The Marines are going to save us. Oscar shoots himself, and I get the girl. So if that is the music cue, I never heard one.
Put your arms around me, Doris. Hold me tight.
Huddle up and cuddle up with all your might.
Oh, Doris, when you roll those eyes, I delight.
Now when you look at me, my heart begins to float.
Then what happens, baby?
Then it starts rocking like a motorboat.
Oh, I never knew any girl like you.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when. The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you are smiling then, but I can't remember where or when. Some things that happen for the first time seem to be happening again. And so it seems that we have met before and laughed before and loved before. But who knows where or when.
Folks, a boy always remembers his first girl. A lot of boys have girls named Mary, Frances, or Josie. Well, it may have been my gal Sal who inspired Paul Dresser to write this song.
They call her Frivolous Sal, a peculiar sort of a gal, with a heart that was mellow, an all-round good fellow, was my old pal. Your trouble, sorrow, and care, she was always willing to share. A wild sort of devil, but dead on the level, was my gal
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Music Hall, starring Al Jolson, came to you from Hollywood through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education. Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our summer show train with your host, Gordon McRae. The Association of American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life, brings you the Railroad Summer Show, starring Gordon McRae, with Lucille Norman, the sportsman, and the music of John Rarig and his orchestra. And here is your host, Gordon McRae.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads pays tribute to the distinguished American composer, Mr. Ethelbert Nevin, and to his music, which has become part of the rich musical heritage of America. The story of Ethelbert Nevin is the story of an earlier era in American music. He was born the 25th of November of the year 1862, and he died 39 years later, leaving behind him a musical signature that would be deathless and timeless. Many of his songs you know. Some, like this one, may be new to you. But Ethelbert Nevin set this famous poem to music in 1900, and your grandparents sang it around the parlor piano. Nevin's own dedication of the song read, "To My Little Choir at Vineacre." You see, it was written for the small girls who liked to gather around his piano on Sunday evenings and sing with him. He loved children. You will see that over and over as you hear the poems he chose to set to music.
Down near the end of a wandering lane that runs round the cares of day, where conscience and memory meet and explain their quaint little quarrels away. A mistier castle sits back in the dusk, where brownies and hobgoblins dwell. And this is the home of a busy old gnome who's making up dream things to sell, my dear, the daintiest dreams to sell. Last night when I walked through the portals of sleep and came to a weird little den, I looked in the place where the elf men should keep a dream that I buy now and then. 'Tis only a sweet, happy dream of a day, yet one that I wish may come true. But I learned from the elf that you'd been there yourself, and he'd given my dear dream to you, sweetheart. He'd given our dream.
Ethelbert Nevin was born about 15 miles from Pittsburgh at the family home known as Vineacre. The days were the dark, pain-shadowed days of civil conflict. As the nation grew up around him, he grew, and he kept pace with the nation for 39 years. As a child, he loved music. At 3 years old, he was singing songs, and by the time he was 5, he was playing his own accompaniments. He came by his love of music naturally, because his father loved music, and his mother had insisted that a grand piano be lugged across the Allegheny Mountains to western Pennsylvania when she was but a young girl. They say it was the first piano in that part of the country. His father must have realized the influence of that piano when Bert came to him one day when he was in college and said, "Father, I want to make music my profession."
"You want to do what?"
"I said I want to make music my profession."
"You mean you want to be a professional musician?"
"Yes, sir."
"Why, Bert, no one in our family has ever had to descend to being a paid piano player."
"Oh, Father, I wish I could make you understand. I love music. It's like bread to me, and it's like water. Why, it's even like champagne."
"Bert, I love music, too. I've seen that you had lessons. I wanted you to know music and to appreciate it. But for a respectable livelihood, I must insist that you go into some sort of business."
And so Ethelbert Nevin tried to become a businessman. He pored over books during long, tedious hours while his heart hungered. He forced his fingers to push a pen across the pages of ledgers while his fingers actually ached for the keyboard. He doggedly tried to keep from thinking of music. But everything he read, every poem he glanced at, became music to him.
"The little toy dog is covered with dust, but sturdy and staunch he stands. The little toy soldier is red with rust, and his musket molds in his hands. Time was when the little toy dog was new, and the soldier was passing fair. And that was the time when our little boy blue kissed them and put them there. Now don't you go till I come," he said, "and don't you make any noise." So toddling off to his trundle bed, he dreamt of the pretty toys. And as he was dreaming, an angel song awakened our little boy blue. Oh, the years are many, the years are long, but our little toy friends are true. Aye, faithful to little boy blue they stand, each in the same old place, awaiting the touch of the little hand, the smile of a little face. And they wonder as waiting these long, long years through, in the dust of that little chair, what has become of our little boy blue since he kissed them and put them there.
Yes, he read poems such as Eugene Field's immortal Little Boy Blue, and many years later he would set those poems to music. Oh, he loved music. If he was to live at all, he had to live music. He tried again and again to explain this to his father, and at last, he was successful. He went to Boston to study, and then to Berlin, and the years were busy, stimulating years, full of hope. Somewhere in between the etudes and the preludes, the sonatas and the concertos, he fell in love. Her name, Ann Paul, and she was all that no woman had ever been before, or could ever be again, to Ethelbert Nevin. They set their wedding date for January 5th of the year 1888. They were young, they were in love, and the world belonged to them. The day before they were married, Bert said to her, "Ann, I'm not good enough. I never will be, but darling, I'll do everything I can to make you happy."
I don't know how anyone could be any more happy. Oh, Bert, do you suppose anyone ever felt this way before? I don't. They may have thought they did, but they couldn't have. Not really. Not like this.
No, they couldn't have. Not really. Not like this. Oh, I want to gather up the whole world and put it right at your feet.
You have, didn't you know?
I have a wedding gift for you. Something I have fashioned just for you and for this day. I found some stanzas by Charles Kingsley. I made them into a song, which is, well, it's my wedding gift to you. I have the manuscript here. I'll sing it for you.
Oh, that we two were maying down the stream of the soft spring breeze.
Come sing with me.
Like children with harlots playing in the shade of a whispering tree. Oh, that we two sat dreaming on the sword of some watching the white mist steaming o'er river and mead and town. Oh, that we two lay sleeping in a nest in the churchyard sod. With our limbs at rest on the quietest rest, and our souls at home with
song.
It's yours, just as all my music will be yours, just as I am yours. We'll be back with the second act of the story of Ethelbert Nevin and his music in just a moment. But first, a message from the railroads.
We are so much in the habit of thinking of our railroads simply as the railroads that many of us are inclined to overlook what they really mean to each of the thousands of communities they serve. Of course, first and foremost, the railroads mean transportation, the sort of transportation which has made it possible to settle and civilize the American continent in a few short decades. They provide the efficient, economical, dependable, and safe mass transportation upon which our whole system of mass production, distribution, and consumption depends. But important as transportation is, this is not all that railroads mean to communities. They mean payrolls, payrolls scattered in hamlet, town, and city all over the 48 states of the Union. In fact, the railroads are one of the largest employers in this country, and at the present time have more than 1.25 million people on their payrolls. These people, together with their families, number 3.5 million, a group about the same size as the entire population of the city of Chicago. The railroads also mean purchases of more than 100,000 different items, ranging from paper clips to giant locomotives. These purchases are made in practically every city, town, and agricultural community, and help to give work to hundreds of thousands. The railroads mean taxes not earmarked for the special benefit of railroads, but contributions to the support of such functions of government as schools, fire and police protection, the administration of justice, and even the highways, waterways, and airports used by competitors of the railroads. Essential transportation, payrolls, purchases, taxes. These are the railroads' contributions to the national economy. That's why it is frequently said that national prosperity is geared to railroad prosperity. That's one of the reasons it's so important to keep our railroads in a state of good health. For reasonably prosperous railroads are necessary to an enduring and satisfactory prosperity for our country. And now, here is the second half of the Railroad Hour's tribute to the distinguished American composer, Mr. Ethelbert Nevin. Ethelbert and Ann Nevin lived for a time at Boston, and then at Quincy. At Quincy, on December the 5th, they were joined by Ethelbert Paul Nevin, a handsome young fellow of 9 pounds. 3 nights later, Ethelbert was busy at the piano with a poem by Eugene Fields, writing a song for his son. The nurse said to him,
"Mr. Nevin, you're going to disturb the baby with that noise."
"Oh, he's going to have to get used to this noise, nurse. He might as well start right now. You see? He seems to like music. Paul, my boy, let Daddy tell you a story that a wonderful poet calls a Dutch lullaby. The story belongs to the poet, but the music belongs to you."
"Winkin' and blinkin' and not one night, sail off in a wooden shoe, sail on a river of misty light into a sea of dew. Where are you going and what do you wish?" the old moon asked of the three. "We've come to fish for the herring fish that lived in this beautiful sea. Nets of silver and gold have we," said Winken, Blinken, Winken, Blinken, and Nod. All night long their nets they threw for the fish in the twinkling foam. Then down from the sky came the wooden shoe, bringing the fishermen home. 'Twas all so pretty a sail, it seemed as if it could not be. And some folks thought 'twas a dream they dreamed of sailing that beautiful sea. But I shall name you the fishermen three, Winken, Blinken, and Nod. And Nod. Winken and Blinken are two little eyes, and Nod is a little head. And the wooden shoe that sailed the skies is a wee one's trundle bed. So close your eyes while Daddy sings of wonderful sights that be, and you shall see the beautiful things as you rock on the misty sea. The old shoe rocked the fishermen three, Winken, Blinken, Winken, Blinken, and
he's asleep, Mr. Nevin. Bert.
Yes, darling?
Oh, that's a lovely song.
You know, Anne, when I began to study, I thought I just wanted to play music. But now I want to write it. I want to put into music everything I feel when I look at you, when I look at my son, when I look at the world around me. And so into music went Ethelbert Nevin's love of family and of home and of children everywhere. He was not a strong man. He lived but 39 years.
His son would know him for 13 of those years. His daughter, Dorothy Ann Nevin, would know him for but 9. In the final analysis, they would know him best of all through his music.
Children, we found this song in your father's things. Come over to the piano. I want you to listen to it.
Sweetest little fellow, everybody knows. Don't know what to call him, but he's mighty like a rose. Looking at his mammy with eyes so shiny blue,
so much more fortunate than many people, my darlings. For although he has left us, we still can hear him speak to us in his music.
He died in 1901, 48 years ago. He did not live to see Mighty Like a Rose become an American classic. He did live, however, to know that his famous piano composition, Narcissus, was finding its way to almost every piano in America. And he did live to see another of his songs sell 32,500 copies in 1 year. A phenomenal record in those days. And it was this song that had him worried the most. When he wrote it, he said to his wife, "Anne, I don't know whether this song has any real musical merit at all. I guess only time will tell." And time has told, for of all Ethelbert Nevin's great catalog of music, this one song stands out above all the rest. Timeless, belonging to the ages.
The hours I spent with thee, dear heart, are as a string of pearls to me. I count them over, every one apart, my rosary, my heart in absence wrong. I tell each bead unto the end, and there are crosses hung. Oh, memories that bless and burn, Oh, barren gain and bitter tears. I kiss each bead and strive at last to learn to kiss the cross. And so, for music that has become a treasured part of the musical growth of this nation, the Railroad Hour salutes the genius and the music of Ethelbert Nevin. As a lasting tribute to the memory of Ethelbert Nevin, the Railroad Hour is proud to present to Mr. Paul Nevin a scroll honoring his father. It is signed by William T. Farrisee, President, Association of American Railroads. And here to accept the scroll for Mr. Paul Nevin is the famous soprano of the Metropolitan Opera Company and star of the Kraft Music Hall, lovely Dorothy Kirsten.
Thank you, Gordon. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to accept this scroll on behalf of Paul Nevin, Mr. Ethelbert Nevin's son, who was unable to be here this evening. The music of his father has been a great source of pleasure and inspiration to this nation through the passing years, and I know it will continue to be through the years to come.
Thank you, Dorothy. Next week, the Railroad Hour will pay tribute to the composer and author lyricist of one of Broadway's recent successes, Mr. Frederick Lowe and Mr. Alan J. Lerner, and their great score for Brigadoon. You'll hear many familiar hits, and among them, this great favorite.
And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling. I could swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. The Railroad Summer Hour is written by Gene Holloway and is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. These railroads are your hometown partners. They are an essential, dependable working part of the life of thousands of cities and towns all over America. Railroads employ local people, often buy supplies locally. They own local property and pay local taxes on it. They are responsible citizens and good neighbors in your own hometown. Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. So until next week, goodbye. Gordon MacRae is now being seen in the Warner Brothers Technicolor production, Look for the Silver Lining. In tonight's tribute, Gordon MacRae appeared as Ethelbert Nevin and Lucille Norman as Mrs. Nevin. And now for Lucille Norman, the sportsman, John Rarig and his orchestra, and your host, Gordon McRae, a hearty invitation to meet us again next week at this same place on your dial. We'll have more songs and a tribute to Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowy and their score for Brigadoon. This is Marvin Miller speaking.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.